a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Lily Liu, and these are the headlines of this hour. Joint Development. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi reaffirms the country's commitment to development in Cambodia on a visit to the Southeast Asian nation. Worsening deficit. An IMF report says the huge U.S. fiscal deficit is worsening inflation and posing significant risks to the global economy. Green transition. In today's BizFocus, we head to China's southern city of Liuzhou and find out how its omnipresent little energy buses, or known as the baby buses, offers a model for the country's green transformation. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi says China is ready to work with Cambodia to strengthen cooperation and promote greater development in building the bilateral community with a shared future. Wang Yi made the remarks when meeting with his Cambodian counterpart, as well as Deputy Prime Minister Sochin Dasopi. Wang said that the two nations should promote people-to-people exchanges and jointly combat illegal activities such as online gambling and telecommunication fraud. Sochin Dasopi says that Cambodia adheres to the One China policy and welcomes more Chinese companies to invest in the country. Wang Yi also met with King Norendam Sihamoni on Sunday. Sekinina Aluwalia has more from Phnom Penh.
Minister Wang Yi highlighted the projects that both countries are working on, such as the Industrial Development Corridor and the Fish and Rice Corridor. He said these projects are expected to accelerate Cambodia's economic growth, putting the country into the regional and global landscape. The topics of energy and security was heavily discussed as well, because Cambodia is keen on transitioning into clean and green energy, and China has the technology for that. Another important discussion was how the country will work closely together to enhance cultural bonds. They both agree that strengthening the relationship of their people is also very important. This means they will have more cultural events in the future and promote tourism even more. Silkina Aluwalia, CGTN, Phnom Penh.
In recent years, bilateral cooperation between China and Cambodia has deepened, with economic cooperation expanding. The two sides established a comprehensive strategic partnership in 2010, and in 2019, they signed an action plan to build a community of shared future. Under this agreement, the two countries should share common development and discuss practical cooperation under the framework of the Belt and Road Initiative. The bilateral free trade agreement took effect on January 1, 2022. And according to China's customs, bilateral trade hit $16 billion in 2022, up 17% on the year. And last year, China and Cambodia established the Diamond Hexagon Cooperation Framework, which focuses on six areas, including people-to-people exchanges, political cooperation, energy and security. Well, the two countries also have defined 2024 as the year of people-to-people exchanges, aiming to promote tourism and connectivity. China's general public budget revenue sustained recovery momentum during the first quarter of the year, Wang Dongwei, Vice Minister of Finance, said at a press conference on Monday. The central government collected approximately 6.1 trillion yuan in revenue, up 2.2% on the year. Tax revenue totaled 4.92 trillion yuan during the same period, down 4.9% from a year ago. And notably, tax revenue from cultural and tourism consumption saw faster growth, with a nearly 45% increase in the accommodation and catering sectors. General public budget spending expanded by 2.9% on a year in the first 3 months, with social security, employment and education remaining the primary areas of expenditure. Looking ahead, the ministry will continue to implement a proactive fiscal policy to bolster the momentum of economic recovery. Now, to gain more insights into China's financial performance in the first quarter and its fiscal policy support, let's bring in Mr. Zhang Gong, professor at the University of International Business and Economics. Professor Gong, so what do the latest numbers tell us about the impact of China's fiscal policy support on the economy?
Well, I think the fiscal revenue, tax revenue number corroborates the story that China's economy is indeed coming back. It also, I think, shows that the current administration, as well as actually the previous administration, their effort to essentially lessen the tax burden on the general society. In other words, the State Council has this initiative of trying to reduce the tax burden for companies, and that's probably reflected in this 2.2%, if I hear this correctly, 2.1 or 2.2% growth compared to the same period last year. So I think overall, at least China is in a fairly sound financial standing from a central government's perspective. And this also affords the central government to further advance its fiscal policy agenda, as the vice minister has just been saying this.
And also, many of the pressure actually is on local governments, and many of them are fiscally challenged. So what can they do to optimize their spending structure and then scale back costs?
Yeah, I think, people in the West and some experts and analysts have been talking about China's so-called debt problem. And you're absolutely right. The debt problem mostly rests with the regional governments, local governments, township and county governments. And I think there's no way of getting around the fact that in the past, a lot of the tax revenue base is coming from the real estate market. And as the real estate market slows down, inevitably, the fiscal situation of these local governments are going to be affected. And I think the way to solve this problem is really from a financial and fiscal responsibility point of view, right? You spend the money within your reach. I think you mentioned a fiscal responsibility, and I think this is something that these governments have to do, that to bring the costs down, bring the expenses down, and run the local governments within the financial reach of their local area. Don't overspend. And control the size of the civil employee workforce.
And also, based on what we've seen in the first quarter, what is your perspective on where China's fiscal policy might be heading going forward?
Yeah, so, this is an interesting question about where the money is going to be spent on. Mm-hmm. I think in the past, the fiscal policy has been mostly focusing on infrastructure build-out. And I think this time around it's going to be quite different. I think this time around the central government has been talking about investment in soft infrastructure, as well as in projects that actually elevate the quality of life of citizens, like beautification projects within the city, projects catering to the general public in terms of providing convenience and also facilities that essentially increase people's quality of life. And I think that's really the next level, the next frontier, in my view, of enhancing China's infrastructure. I mean, the notion of infrastructure has a much broader scope, in my view. It has to be more than just about transportation, railway, these things. I think, things that make people's life more comfortable, happier, more amenities, more convenience. These are the things probably will be very much emphasized this time.
Great insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
The fiscal deficit of the United States is exacerbating inflation and posing significant risks to the global economy. That is according to a recent fiscal monitor report released by the International Monetary Fund. The report expects the U.S. fiscal deficit to hit 7.1% of its GDP next year. That is compared to a 2% average level seen in other developed economies. It also urges the U.S. to solve the serious imbalance between expenditure and revenue, citing its profound impact and risks to the global economy. Now here's a closer look at how the fiscal gap of the U.S. federal government has widened in recent years. In 2020 and 2021, the gap between government spending and revenue suddenly widened to more than $3 trillion due to massive relief handouts and bond issuance during the COVID-19 pandemic. The gap narrowed in 2022 along with the economic recovery, but it widened again in 2023 as rate hikes used to contain post-pandemic inflation in turn added to the government's debt payback. And last year, the U.S. Treasury's interest payments surged over 22%, taking up 14% of total government spending. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a decree to update the national strategy for developing artificial intelligence. It comes as the country faces its worst labor shortage in decades, with the software development sector seeing the biggest brain drain. Our Dasha Chenshova has more.
This tractor is equipped with Cognitive AgroPilot, an AI solution for agriculture that makes almost anyone a highly skilled machine operator. Using this technology, a combine harvester can identify unharvested areas, change its route autonomously, and send new information to other machines. Developers say it can also provide real-time analysis of harvested crops, instantly evaluating impurities, moisture, and other qualities. AI solutions like these are expected to improve employee productivity and help alleviate potential labor shortages.
It's a very popular topic of agriculture society, because it's give information from one side, it's very comfortable for people. Yeah. Another side, we near the solution with a few harvesters work together with one operator, and we will show that in a year, maybe in a two. It's reduce the cost for owners.
There are 1,700 agropilots already in use in Russia, and the market potential is over 1 million. 80% of their components are produced in Russia.
AI solutions are becoming more and more important for Russia, which is struggling to tackle a shortage of labor. AI is already used in over a third of the country's priority economic spheres. There are more than 1,000 companies and over 90 research centers developing AI in Russia.
According to a recent survey, 20% of large Russian companies already use generative artificial intelligence. The economic potential of AI in Russia is estimated to reach up to $38 billion by 2028. But experts warn that a shortage of certain technology because of sanctions and global scarcity could hinder AI development. The sector has also been hit by the departure of thousands of IT specialists from Russia, following the start of Moscow's operation in Ukraine.
In terms of AI and its role for the local market, I would say that definitely it will even help to solve the problem of the IT profession shortage, which we face as Russia and many other companies at the moment. By different estimations, the shortage is around 1 million people, 1 million IT specialists. That's quite huge.
AI supports other sectors as well, creators of all kinds, marketing, but also basic materials, oil and gas, metals and mining, commerce. Consultancy group Yakov and Partners says Russia is the seventh country in the world in terms of the level of government support of AI development.
It creates opportunities for our technological companies, for our businesses to first develop their own solutions, second, and be not dependent on the international solutions, especially within such a period of time. Then it supports us as just citizens in getting more and more advanced solutions and making our life easier.
AI development has become an important issue for Russia, one where the country's leadership sees the potential for a competitive advantage. But to achieve that, Moscow needs to deal with two key issues, a shortage of people and hardware. Dasha Chernyshova, CGTN, Moscow.
Liuzhou in South China's Guangxi Zhuang Autonomous Region is the hometown of Baby Bus, that is an A00 type NEV. Most locals drive these little cars every day in a city renowned for its NEV industry. In today's episode of BizFocus, our reporter Xu Yi visits Liuzhou to find out how a small city serves as a model for China's electric vehicle transition.
Liuzhou, known for its delectable local food, luosifen, also boasts a captivating sight. Adorable baby bus zipping through the city streets. Locals also call these cars chili fish head, as the similar appearance. Office workers, a parent with a baby, even the policemen drive around in these little cars.
Let's try it.
With 23 sharing NEV stations scattered across Liuzhou, it's hard to resist the baby bus for city driving. There are also smaller parking spots for these adorable cars everywhere. Especially for a bad driver like me, parking like this is so much easier.
It's a time-honored industrial city in southwest China. Liuzhou is also one of the China's automobile cities, along with Changchun, Chongqing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. But among all these five cities, Liuzhou is the smallest one. And why could this place become one of the China's largest homes of NEVs and baby buses? The city can be considered as the Detroit in China, and the confidence of this automobile city firstly comes from the local automaker, SEAC GM Wuling, with its 65-year history. Founded in 1958, the brand has laid a solid foundation for Liuzhou automobile industry, which offers another name card to the world in addition to luosifen. This adorable dinky car is Wuling Hongguang Mini EV, which opened the new chapter for the A00's NEV market in China. From its front bumper to the back, this mini car is only around 300 centimeters, shorter than a Fiat 500, one of the smallest cars sold in the United States. In 2022, Wuling Hongguang Mini EV remains the top seller among the A00 NEVs with over 550,000 units globally.
Liuzhou's baby bus is mainly referred to as Wuling Hongguang Mini EV, Baojun E100 and E200. These models are priced under 60,000 yuan and they're much easier to park. They're specifically designed for city commuting and short trips.
Upon entering the Wuling factory, the prominent slogan catches your attention, reiterating the automaker's commitment to producing cars that prioritize people's needs.
We accurately understand people's needs in the A00 NEV market. For example, in third-tier cities like Liuzhou, over 70% of drivers travel alone or with just one passenger, and the average daily mileage is around 50 kilometers. This insight led us to develop mini cars that provide great convenience. Our manufacturing technology enables rapid product iteration and innovation.
And this is the world's first automobile plant adopting the innovative smart island production method, the Wuling Lean Intelligent Manufacturing Factory. And at this moment, you can see 250 industrial robots in different sizes and shapes are doing their work.
Through intelligent upgrades, we have achieved an impressive 30% increase in production efficiency.
And once customers purchase their cars, they will engage in personalized modifications in various styles, which has become a distinctive appealing feature in Liuzhou City.
If you meet with some twins, like bees on the street, it's a little bit difficult for you to find yours without a decoration, because there are so many of them.
And thankfully, the prices for modifications here are also pocket-friendly. To ensure that consumers truly love and embrace their cars, the local government in Liuzhou has adopted the Liuzhou model. And this model involves a close integration between the government and enterprises.
In 2017, we released our first new energy vehicle to raise public awareness. We provided free NEVs to 28 enterprises institutions supported by the Liuzhou city government. After addressing parking, charging and perception challenges, the innovative Liuzhou model has been formed.
To make new energy vehicles more convenient to use, we first address the fundamental challenges of charging and parking.
In Liuzhou City, a 10-minute charging circle has been established within the urban area, with over 1,900 public charging stations and over 20,000 public charging infrastructure. And this extensive charging network also covers 99% of townships. Thanks to the joint efforts of the government and automakers, as of March this year, the cumulative production of NEVs in Liuzhou has surpassed 2 million, and the penetration rate of NEVs in the city has exceeded over 51% in 2023.
Looking at the product structure, the strength of Liuzhou's automobile industry lies in small cars. The popularity of this kind of car has promoted the development of Liuzhou's new energy industry.
When entering the Liuzhou government building, neatly arranged NEVs can be seen in front of the charging stations, mostly baby buses. The greenery and robust trees in front of the building give a glimpse of Liuzhou's commitment and achievements in the development of the new energy industry. Liuzhou's successful model in the new energy industry has also made an impact overseas, contributing to the low-carbon development goals in ASEAN countries and other regions. Liuzhou also offers talent cultivation programs to other countries.
Since last year, we have established strategic agreements with five colleges and universities in Thailand. They send teachers to China every year for advanced studies, which has become a regular practice. Malaysia and Indonesia have also expressed great interest in this field of study.
Liuzhou is more than just a city known for its delicious food. It is dedicated to ecological construction as a garden city, with a commitment dating back to 2012. And the city's water quality has consistently ranked first in the country for four consecutive years. Nestled amidst beautiful mountains and clear waters, its industrial prowess continues to contribute valuable assets for the future.
The Guangdong-Hong Kong-Macau Greater Bay Area is home to a remarkable lighthouse factory that is employing the most advanced manufacturing technologies in China. Its smart production line allows multiple customized tasks to be implemented within greater efficiency at lower costs.
This factory in South China's Greater Bay Area is leading the way in eco-friendly production of new energy vehicles. Using around 600 robots, the GAC Ion New Energy Automobile Company has created a strategy of enabling highly customized design. Customers can choose from a range of colors, models, and features for their new car.
The production scheduling of lines is different, as you can see here. After a customer places an order on the app, a corresponding order is generated. This order will automatically enter the production scheduling system and the data will be transmitted to various workshops.
The factory was strategically designed in 2017 to enable future innovation in digitization and smart technologies.
What tests the lighthouse factory? It's their digital capabilities. By digitizing, we simulate all aspects and actions of our equipment to eliminate waste and enhance operational efficiency.
As the only so-called lighthouse factory making new energy vehicles, the company stands out in the world as a beacon for what digitization can do in the manufacturing process. The highly customized digital tools used here have allowed for significant improvements, including a 50% increase in efficiency and a decrease of 60% in manufacturing costs. Wang Qiwei, CGTN.
April the 22nd is the Earth Day, a day to raise awareness about the environment. Beginning in 1970, the movement has led to the establishment of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Clean Air Act, and the Clean Water Act. It has become a day celebrated worldwide, with volunteer groups organizing cleanups throughout many countries. On Earth Day 2024, organizers are calling for a 60% reduction in the production of all plastics by 2040. It is Tianzi reports from Los Angeles.
From the growing number of landfills to the oceans, toxic waste is building up faster than we can manage. And the great global cleanup on April 22nd aims to raise awareness of the threat.
Folks going out and cleaning up their local park, their river, their you know, whatever it may be, where it needs help. It's a great opportunity to get people thinking about, you know, the environment. Maybe they hadn't thought about it. Maybe they hadn't thought about the plastic bottles and what that means while they're picking them up, and suddenly there's an awareness there. So,
as part of Earth Day, these cleanups are happening in thousands of locations around the world, with Malaysia hosting the largest event with over 100,000 volunteers. The global action comes amid revelations 2 years ago of microplastics found in the lungs and even the bloodstream of people for the first time.
Some of those plastics are already associated with things like asthma or cancer or inflammation. So that's why I think this is a wake-up call.
From 2 million tons in 1950 to more than 450 million tons in 2019, global plastic production has multiplied nearly 230-fold, and future projections are far more bleak.
We're expecting by 2040 the total production of plastics in the world to increase double, so go up twice, by 2060 to go up three times. And when you look around and you sort of think about everything you can see right now, if you looked around your room, that's plastics. It's a lot, right? It's very difficult to go 5 minutes without using plastics. And even if you did, you breathed it in the whole time because it's in the air too.
Research has shown that recycling alone does not address the problem. And so activists are pushing for a global plastics treaty. World delegations are gathering in Ottawa to continue their negotiations led by the UN.
And what's exciting about that draft text is that it takes the entire production line from the beginning to the end and looks at the interventions that the world needs to do along the line.
Numbers show that if single-use plastics could be eliminated, that would cut out about half of all global plastic production, a giant step toward a healthier environment. It is Tian Shan, CGTN, Los Angeles.
And with that, I'm closing out this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. I'm Lulu in Beijing. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned.